proud member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice!
And, you know, over the last 11 weeks, I say that. I say I'm a proud member of the West Side Men's Group, and a couple times I pointed it out. Absolutely not, Marissa. Absolutely not. That sounds like the other half of the home group that's not here tonight, so we're good. Take it easy. I say that I'm a member of a home group, and I'm proud of being a member of a home group, and I really feel... I look forward to the blessing of every week knowing that I'm going to go to a home group where there's men in there that are going to hold me accountable, where there's men in there that have come before me, a lot before me, some of them are here tonight, and then there's men that have come after me. I was taught early on that if you have a hand out to God and to the guy that's in front of you, and you have a hand out to the guy that's behind you, you don't have a hand free to get into trouble. And that has worked perfectly over my sobriety. The guys that have come before me and the guys that are paving the way, and the ladies, the people that have come before me and paving the way, and my relationship with God, I firmly hold that, and I don't let go. And then I have my big book in the 12 and 12 and the Bible in the other hand, and a guy that's a newcomer, and I hold it that way. And if you're anything like me, sometimes not having any hands free is a true blessing. And I try to keep my hands occupied as much as possible. Not on me, of course. So, can I just ask you for, and this is not to brag in any way, but can I just ask the members of the West Side Men's Group just to hold up your hands? Now, I say that to show you this. We really do support each other. We really do care about each other. And we really do hold each other accountable. If you're not a member of a home group, like Wendy spoke tonight, this is one of the greatest home groups, tonight's home group here. And I've been coming here since I got sober. If you're not a member of a home group, get involved in a home group. Let them know who you are. Give me your phone number. Get a service commitment. Get involved. Because on the days when you're falling through the cracks, they'll call you. Or like Dan did, show up at your house. They'll show up at the house. They'll call you. Hey, what's up? Where were you? What do you mean you... And you get held accountable. I love it. I love being a member of the home group. I've always been in one, and when I wasn't in one, then I gave my sobriety date away, and I had to start all over again. So this is the 11th step. This is the top of the top. This is where it all comes up all together. And this is also a bittersweet night for us, because next week is the last week for our tenure here, and I'm sure that... You're going to have a great speaker coming. I don't specifically know top hat, but I'm sure it's going to be very good. Every speaker that they have here brings a different thing to the table. But the 11th step, which is what we're on tonight, is the whole enchilada for me. It's everything. It's changed my life. It's transformed my life. It transformed my life today. It keeps me in line. It gets me in focus. It takes me out of me. When I want to whine about what's going on in my life, I have a prayer in the 11th step prayer called the St. Francis Prayer. And if you weigh things out with the St. Francis Prayer, if you weigh it out on who's wronged you today, on what you perceive as someone should have done, if you weigh it out with the 11th step prayer, you're going to know exactly where you stand with the Creator of the universe. I on my way here tonight, first of all, to my brother from Ireland, so good to see you. So, you know what I love about this meeting? We really have some out-of-town visitors. We have, like, Ireland, Canada, you know, Pompano. You know, we have some serious, serious out-of-towners. I love that. The gentleman from Ireland, since he's in the meeting, I could break his anonymity, but we were in a halfway house together 8 years ago. 8 years ago. And here he is, by way of the Celtic Triangle, right back, and just so wonderful to see him. And then my buddy Eddie's in the back, and we were all in the same halfway house together. I can't get over that. I can't get over that we get to walk this road together and do this journey together. And let's get right into it, because we have about 45 minutes of incredible information that we're going to pack into 35. So buckle in. And if it's let me say something else to the new guys, to the people that are just coming back. I saw some people that were just coming back, and they had this look of sadness on their face. I saw someone that I know very well, and I saw her not, looking sad. I want to tell you something. Don't look sad. If you're coming back, if you're new to the meeting, you are not only the most important person in the meeting, but you have the most potential. There is nothing written in terms of your sobriety right now. If you turn it over to God, if you give Him the reins of your life, you could be up here and other places. We could be listening to you at the convention. If God takes a hold of your life the way He's taken a hold of some of our lives in here, there is no telling where He can bring you. So it's exciting to be back. You know what's sad? You know what's sad? For our friends that are outside tonight. We got a whole list of them, don't we, Donna? We got a whole list of them in the last month that have went out. 50 of them. 50 of them. My friend Richard Spike called me today, and he said to me, don't forget that this is the holidays and it's a very tough time for people. It is a very tough time for people. But it's also a very tough time for us in here. So if we band together, we don't fall out. You see those National Geographic, the wildlife shows, and the lions, they come, and even the gazelles, which are like these little skinny animals. The lion can't get the gazelles when the gazelles are in the middle of a pack. You see those lions, and they're starving, and they run at them, and the gazelles are all in the middle. They don't get them. They don't get the gazelle. They get the gazelle that was by itself. They get the gazelle that was checking out to see if maybe a strip club wouldn't be a big deal. Maybe I'll go on Friday night to see what the other gazelles are doing. That's the gazelle that gets bit. But if you're in the middle of the pack, if you're in here tonight, stay in the middle of the pack when the holidays come, as the holidays start, and you start feeling all those feelings of how many holidays did I waste? How many Christmases and holidays did I make my parents good? What did I lose? Look at the people I've hurt. Let me tell you something. You're doing the best you can today. I'm the best Stevie B that I can right now. I can't go back and fix the 15 to 20 Christmases that I destroyed, but I can be sober today. I can make, it sounds like a cliche, but I can make the rest of my life the best of my life that we hear in that Saturday night meeting in the city hall. I can make the rest of my night life the best of my life, but I can't make it if I'm out there. God can restore what the locusts have stolen as long as I'm sober. Now, am I going to do everything perfect? Absolutely not. Am I going to make mistakes and owe you guys amends? Absolutely. Am I going to step all over myself and say foolish things? Unfortunately. Am I going to become an egomaniac with an inferiority complex? Most of the time. Am I going to want to do my best and put my best foot forward and fail? Sometimes I do. Am I going to get on my knees in the morning and turn my entire life over to God, but then I get out of bed and everything goes down the hill? Absolutely. But guess what happens when you do that? You have a whole set of another 11 steps to help you with the rest of the day. I tell you, this program is magical. One of my closest friends was coming back, and I seen him in this meeting. He always had an attitude, because he's under a month now, and he's under 2 months, and he always had an attitude. I don't understand being back with an attitude, because let me tell you, when I came back, and Wendy will tell you, when I came back, I did have an attitude. I had an attitude of desperation. I was going to our meetings and making it and doing. I found out that in NA they got ridiculous time meetings, like 1 o'clock meetings and 12 o'clock meetings and 10 o'clock meetings. That's the great thing about NA; you can go meetings all around the clock. Those people never sleep. They just keep drinking coffee all through the night. I was going to meetings everywhere. I didn't stop. And if I had some uncomfortability and some irritability, I'd go to another meeting. And you know what I did inside those meetings, even though I was a newcomer coming back, and some of my friends that I sobered up with, like Don, who I sobered up with, and now he has 16 years, and I have coming up on 8, and of course I felt bad about it. But you know what I did? I was available for the next guy that came in and said, you know what? My name is Steve. Where's Steve? I saw Steve tonight. He said he's new. I said, you know what? My name is Steve, and I know how it is to be new. Welcome home. And with a week, I was welcoming people back home. Because who am I looking to impress? People in AA? You know what I mean? So some of the old timers were like, listen, you only got a week. That's right, but I got a week. So I'm gonna be the guy that's welcoming people. And some of the people I welcome back, they had like 15, 20 years. I didn't know, who cares? Welcome back. You know, guys like, listen, I'm an old time. Whatever, welcome here then. Good to see you. Welcome back to this meeting. I didn't care about getting egg on my face. And I took the hat off my head, and I left my attitude at the door. I'm not saying I didn't have some days of self-pity and low self-esteem and look what I gave up and look at all the money that I spent and my poor wife having to be at our store slaving away with my parents that were retired, that had to come out of retirement to keep my life going because I decided to go back out. But you know what? When I had a month, I was doing the best I could at a month. And when I had 2 months, I was doing the best I could at 2 months. And you know what? I'm doing the best I can what I have today. I'm not going to screw up November, what is today's date?
17th.
This is the only November 17th that I'm going to get 2009. And I want to pack it in as much as I can, okay? So let's get right into it. This is a really amazing evening. Last week, first of all, page 68. Take it easy. Page 86. 87. In 88. Page 86, 87, and 88. Page 86, 87, and 88. If you don't know those three pages by heart, and I don't mean what's on them, if you don't know that page 86, 87, and 88 can transform your life, I'm telling you, it can transform your life. You know, a lot of you guys don't read the big book. I know you don't. A lot of you guys may never have read the big book. You know why I know a lot of you guys don't read the big book? Because I have trouble reading the big book. But three pages that I don't miss. Page 86, 87, and 88. That is the meat and potatoes on how to run your day. Now, if you're a guy that, like me, that needs to have instructions from the moment I wake up in the morning to the moment I go to bed, and you don't have the whole week to read the big book, and you are doing your prayer and meditation in the morning, and you want to know how to start? Let me tell you. Let me read this line to you. Upon awakening. It starts off with the sentence, upon awakening. That is so perfect for me. I don't have to get anybody. Nobody had to translate that line. I'm like this. Boom. Upon awakening. Read it to me. It's perfect. Upon awakening, let us think about the 24-hour day ahead. Now, if you don't start off like that, If one of your spiritual readings is not the, if you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, okay, if you're not just visiting tonight, if you're not just passing through, if you want to make Alcoholics Anonymous your home, upon awakening should be a daily read for you. And then at night we're going to read, when we retire. Ooh, when we retire. Now you have the two things of the day that are most important. One is checking in with God and one is thanking God. And in between, we get in the way a lot, don't we? We get in the way, but there's instructions for that in the 11th step. You see, the 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Would you like to improve your conscious contact with God? Would you like the creator of the universe to be speaking into your life? Would you like to be walking down the road and say, you know what? I think I'm going to invest heavily in the real estate market in South Florida 2 years ago. Would you? And all of a sudden you're about to invest your entire life savings right before the market is about to go down and God is speaking into your life, and all of a sudden you have this intuition, you know, maybe I should wait. How would you like to have those things going on in your life? How would you have where are you going to go and you're going to stalk your boyfriend or your girlfriend? And of course you don't think it's stalking. You think it's showing up at their work at a concern. So you're going to show up at their work at a concern with a telescope. And you're there. You're about to get into the car. You're about to put the keys in the ignition. And you know what? You all of a sudden you do something you never did before. You already checked in with the creator of the universe. You already asked him to go into your life. You already turned over your day to him. And all of a sudden, you're about to turn your keys so you can go on a mission across town, maybe wear diapers so you don't have to stop at the restroom. You're about to go, and all of a sudden, an intuitive thought comes to you. God speaks into your life. That's not good. Turn around. Like we spoke about last week, you're writing an email. You are text messaging the most hated. You got this guy cold. This guy has harmed you on 7 different fronts. And you've done this text. You got this text message that is so long. When you hit send on this text message, it'll obliterate your friendship with this person. But however, it also will convict them on all the things they've done for the last 6 years. So you're doing this text message and you got this whole thing, 6 pages of text message. You're about to hit send, but listen how you started off the day. You're about to hit the send button. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. Especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In our thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we often ask God for inspiration. So we're clicking away and we're about to, here it is, and as a matter of fact, this is for our boss. We're about to tell him all about himself. We don't have another job lined up, but we know we're going to stick up for ourselves. Rent is due, FPL's due, everything's due, but you know what? I got my principles, and you're about to hit send. Here we ask God for an inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax. We take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answer comes after what we have tried for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still in experience and having just made conscious contact with God, we are going to make mistakes. However, right before you're about to hit send, maybe you're going to say something like this, God, what should I do in this situation? And then hopefully what's going to come back to you is when we're agitated, what do? We pause. Dion, we pause. We pause. Which means, if you're agitated and you're firing off all these things, if you're, you know, the typewriter, the keys are falling off the typewriter and you can't even see and your eyes blur and you're hitting things. Now, just in case you do hit send, there is a 10th step, but it's often far less painful to be working a thorough 11th step. And you know, there is some amazing stuff, there are some amazing blessings in getting some God control, not self-control. I never had self-control. Never been able to eat one cookie, one pretzel, one potato chip. Never been able to spend a dollar where I wasn't supposed to. Never been able to do that. But God control. There's some amazing blessings in God control. You turn your life over to God, as we did in step 3. You're going to get involved and you're going to get in the way and you're going to make mistakes, and that's a lot of the different steps. Last week we spoke about step 10, and I just want to summarize step 10. Because I don't know if I got it across. I was very emotional last week. Step 10 is so important. There's 3 parts to step 10. There's the step 10, when I wrong you, I immediately go and I promptly tell you I wronged you. There's the part of step 10, what we do at the end of the night, where we constructively review our day, and then we see the things that we need to work on. And then there's a 3rd part to step 10 that is totally indispensable. As I act out during the day, and I start to see that there's things in me, like tonight with my wife, and I started to talk about somebody tonight, I started to gossip. It didn't really feel like gossip, it almost felt like I was helping them, even though they weren't in the car. And so I said, you know what, I don't really like that guy. I really don't. I feel he takes other people's inventories. Can you believe I actually said that out of my mouth? I actually said about someone that he actually takes up other people's inventories. That actually came out of my mouth. And as I was saying that, that's the 3rd part of the 10th step that's so indispensable. And I realized, man, I have judging in me. I got to go back to God on my judging. Now all that, if you're working that stuff and you get to step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Praying only for the power, the knowledge and the power to carry that out. Something like that. Let's read it again. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Man, that's what I'm searching for. I don't want to be running on Stevie B power. I don't want to be working my own deal. I want to be just completely hooking myself up to the power of the universe. Now, just in case my wife wasn't in the car tonight, and as I was taking this guy's inventory, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? That guy is very... He takes a lot of people's inventory. And if I, let's just say my wife wasn't in the car. Say she wasn't in the car, and she said what she said was something like, that doesn't sound very spiritual. You know, she always gives you one of those, like, that doesn't sound very spiritual. So say she's not in the car. Say she's not in the car, but I've already turned over my day in... Let us think about the 24 hours a day ahead. And I get that little thing inside me. I get that little thing inside me that tells me that I'm not working on a spiritual plane. Does anybody know what I mean? That thing that starts going... You know when you talk bad about someone, but you think you're actually doing it for their good, but they're not even around, so it doesn't know how you can help them. But so then you get that thing inside you, that spiritual thing that tells you this probably is not a spiritual thing that you're doing. You can always weigh it out with the 11-step prayer. So let's weigh it out what I was doing. I have to turn on this air because I just went to like a whole nother level of heat up here. Thank you. So I was really feeling like this guy tonight after Spike called me. I was like really taking this guy's inventory. Not Spike. Although I've been guilty of that also. Thank you. So I said to my wife, you know, this guy... He really takes people's inventory, as I was taking his inventory. So let me judge what I was doing in the car with the 11-step prayer. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. That where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort than to be comforted, to understand rather than to be understood. Oh, right there. That is where I can measure everything. Because a lot of times I feel like I'm misunderstood. A lot of times I feel like if I explain myself more thoroughly and longer, you would see my point and you will definitely be able to come around eventually to where I'm at. Either I will wear you down with my intellectual superiority or just my length of time that I could speak in one direction. But I believe that you will finally come over to my side. Let me read this last line to you. Because this is it for me. This is it. That I should seek to be understanding rather than being understood. Man, that cuts half my conversations down during the week. Right there. I just need to weigh that out. As I was taking another person's inventory tonight, I just needed to, you know what, I don't know what that person is thinking when he does what he does. I don't know what that person is thinking. But I got to tell you, I know what I'm thinking. And if I'm going from this place, if I'm going from the 11-step place, if I'm going from the place of God, that I would rather be understanding than be understood, it takes it all out of the picture, doesn't it? It makes it so clear to me. Now I need to seek to say how I can serve that person rather than being served. You know what, I need to start to have compassion for that person rather than wondering why he's dissing me. Listen to this next line. For it is by self-forgetting, forgetting ourselves, that one is found. Oh man, that is a tough line, isn't it? It is by self-forgetting that one is found. I've been trying to self-remember myself my entire life. I want you to remember me. I want everybody to remember. I want me, myself to be taped, to be broadcasted. I see myself on WLRN someday, speaking from the AA convention of the world. Millions of people listening at one time, shouting, God is real. God is real. God is real. And I bring you all with me along the journey. And along the way, of course, making millions, selflessly, donating a lot of it, but not all of it. And yet, as I self-disclose myself before you, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Oh my goodness. Cast thy burden upon me, and I will sustain you. You know, I want to make sure that I'm totally relying on Him. I don't want to use my brain to decipher on whether you've wronged me. I want to use God to decipher on how I can serve you. And just in case I don't believe any of this, it's all written down, black and white. In the 12 and 12 is the 11th step prayer. But in everything that we do in the 11th step, they're on three pages in the big book. Page 86, 87, and 88. Let's go on. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we'd be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. Wasn't that a great prayer to use? Wasn't that... How many people that I've met over the years, they said to me, Steve, what do you use in your meditation for the morning? How do you get centered with God? You don't even have to go out to Barnes & Noble. I'm sure that you own these books. I'm sure that if you're in this meeting tonight, and if you don't own these books, if you're new to the meeting, you get these books. These are the textbooks of Alcoholics Anonymous. Other books are great reading books. This is incredible, Dr. Bob on the Old Times. There's nothing like it. But this is not a textbook. This is a history book. This is our textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous. In these two books, in this program, for me, I'm just saying for me, I can find all the answers. And it has references if I can't find it on where I need to go. So I'd like to start off, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a pledge to you guys. Anytime that I find some person, place, or thing unacceptable to me, I'm going to realize that I have a problem with me. I'm going to realize that I have to do area work in that area. Tonight I found out I judge. I judge, and not only do I judge, but I personally assassinate you. And I put you in this place in my mind that if you don't say you're sorry, if you don't ask for forgiveness for something that you don't even know you did, I will secretly hold a resentment that'll only poison me and you'll never find out about it. Now, how that entire thing works, I don't know. But what I'm pledging to you tonight is that I'm going to weigh my resentments, my character defects, my personal struggles with the 11th step prayer. That I'm going to seek to be forgiving rather than to be forgiven. And to be understanding rather than to be understood. So that means when my friends wrong me, and they're going to wrong me, aren't they? Our friends are going to they're going to trample our low self-esteem. I don't know about you, but I'm very sensitive. Anybody else in here sensitive? I'm offended that a lot of you didn't even say you were sensitive. That's how sensitive I am. I'm very sensitive. Listen to this. And, you know, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to back it up with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12x12. Anybody that says that the program does not take a stand on religion, they're wrong. Now, whether you take a stand on religion or not, that's up to you. I'm not up here telling you that you need to be involved in organized religion. What I am saying is that the books, all over the books, talk about that many of us do go back to religion of our origins. They talk about going to temple. They talk about going to church. They talk about getting together with a minister. They talk about getting together with a rabbi. They talk about amens. So if you think that there's this other program that no one's talking about, this is the program. Guy said to me earlier this week is that, you know, I was with some other guys and they were talking about going to strip clubs. And then another guy in the car said, yeah, but that's his program. Everybody works his program differently. That's not this program. I don't say that to be funny. That's not this program. You're not in this program. You go to meetings, but that's not this program. This program is based on spiritual principles. This program is based on rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. This program is based on not cheating your fellow man. This program is based on that you want to be able to look at every single person in the eye and say that I care about you. This program is based on that. You know how I know it's based on it? Because it's in the book. So if that's the way you're running your program, that is on you, but that's not the program. So you can't say that's the way I run my program. That is the way you run your program. But that's not AA. That's Joe's program or Sally's program or Mary's program. And that's great. But there's not a lot of meetings around called Mary's AA or Joe's AA or Chris's AA. Alcoholics Anonymous works in Ireland. It works in Canada. It works in Russia. I'm sure it works in Pompano. I haven't been there. If circumstances warrant. Listen to this, because if you just shut your mind off now because I got a little bit preachy, don't. Because there's a lot of areas in your life, if you cut it out now, it's going to save you terrible pain and embarrassment down the road. Because whatever you're doing in the dark today will come out in the light down the road. Might not be tonight, but it does come out. You don't get to run around in this program living dirty and expect to stay clean, as our friend Mason says. Eventually it comes out. Eventually when you're looking at your sponsor or your sponsee in the eyes and you say, this is a spiritual way of life and you have to practice it, and then you know what you just were on a Friday night when you weren't supposed to. It oozes out of you. And then you wonder why people are looking at you and then feeling like you're full of it. Because you are. Now I'm not saying that we're going to work a perfect program. But how about let's shoot for some perfection, and then when we fall short from the glory, then we say, you know what? I was shooting for perfection. I fell short. I'm not going to condemn myself. But how is it if we're hanging out 5 days at the racetrack, how is that shooting for perfection? How is that instead of being here serving the homeless or serving people on Thanksgiving dinner, if we're over here at Tootsie's, how is that serving what we're doing in here? And you know where I got all this information? Know where I got this? Just in case you thought I made it up, listen to this. In the 11th step. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend that also. We attend to that also. People said to me, and I'm sure they say it to you, Jimmy, is that it seems like you love church and you love Bible studies and you love God. Oh, why do you still go to AA? Why do I still go to AA? Let me read that line to you. We attend to that also. Because I know a lot of drunk ministers. And I know a lot of tipsy priests. Right, Chris? Half of Ireland. No offense. And they love God as much as any of us in here and probably more than most. And they can't stay sober. So loving God is not enough. Loving yourself is not enough. It's a whole package. Otherwise, there'd be one step. There'd be one step. There'd be a one-step program. Woo, done. Did the step. Good, I'm good. Did the step. That's why there's a 12-step program. Listen to this. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite mode of devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. The principles we have been discussing. If you're not practicing these principles in all your affairs, and you can't talk to anybody about what you're practicing, you're not reading the principles that we're discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick. I know some people that have ripped this page out of the big book. They don't even have this. Their book goes from 86 to 89. I've been at their house and I saw it. It was like kindling. Listen to this line. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. I don't even want to touch that line in this group. I see some of you people in the back going like this. Yeah, I'll get you. Listen, I'm not saying we have to belong to religious denominations, but why don't we get off bashing religious denominations? Why don't we see where we can be of use Why don't we see where we can be understanding? How many recovering Catholics have I met over the last 20 years? Enough already, enough already. If religion helps you to get closer to God, go to it. If it doesn't, but you can still get closer to God, great. Specifically in my life, it helps me. And I like it, and I do it. But let me tell you something. Nothing stands in the way of my Alcoholics Anonymous program. I have a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule that has everything to do with my sobriety. My friend Joe has been doing this for 25 years. We have a very similar schedule. We love church? Absolutely. We love God? Absolutely. But we have to be in AA first in order to do any of that. You know, in my fifth year of sobriety last time, and Wendy, I don't know if she remembers, but I went into my home group and said, you know what, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't think I'm an alcoholic. I know that I'm a drug addict. I knew I had a very serious drug problem. And I decided I was going to drink again, but I was also going to become very religious. I had joined this other deal called whatever it was. Whatever, you know. And a lot of people in AA were doing this other program in addition to AA. But somehow I got it in my mind that even though people were doing this other program in addition to AA, maybe I just needed the other program. Because I'm a pretty spiritual guy. So I started to cut back in meetings, and only do the other thing. And guess what happened? I got drunk. And let me tell you something, where my morning meditation went after I got drunk. Out the window. And where my daily devotion went. Out the window. And you know, let me ask you, do you think I was when I was smoking crack, do you think I was going to church on Sundays? Absolutely not. You think I was like, oh, I love you, Father, and pass me another drink? No, I wasn't. So if I don't do this first, and if I don't submit myself to this first, I don't have any of the other stuff. My personal opinion only. I'm not saying this is for anybody else. As we go through the day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought of action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. Your will be done. His will be done. Does that sound anything like nature or a doorknob? It's his will be done. Take my life. Your will be done. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Hang on. Here it is. Stay with me now. Don't leave. Keep it together. For you people that spend 4 hours a day in Starbucks getting rejuiced and juiced up and then double, triple latte with a shot of espresso on the side intravenously, listen to this. When we rely on God, we do not tire so easily. Take a deep breath. For we are not burning energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. We are alcoholics or undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. Next week we're going to talk about the 12th step, which is faith without works is dead. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how much this step right here is the crux of the entire program. If you don't know about the 11th step, this is the first time you're hearing it, if it's your first day in, get yourself a big book and read page 86, 87, and 88. Thanks for letting me share.